Chapter 28. I've been studying through this Old Testament book with you, and we've come to Exodus chapter 28, verse number 31. We'll only get started with this message tonight, and God willing, I'll conclude it on Sunday night. I do remind you that we will be voting on our bylaws this coming Sunday evening. So if you've not read those yet, you need to do that. If you have any suggestions or thoughts, or if you find any mistakes in there, please let us know. Because God willing, we will be voting on those this coming Sunday night. I plan to take a few minutes at the end of the service just to explain some things, to highlight just not all of it, just a few things, and make sure that everybody's on the same page and understand exactly what we mean, and then we'll vote on Sunday night. So God willing, I will conclude this message this coming Sunday night, the Lord tearing His coming and giving us life. Look at Exodus chapter 28, verse number 31. I hope you're enjoying the study through this book. We've come to this verse together. I'm preaching through the end of the chapter. Let's read these verses. We'll get our title and at least get started tonight, okay? Verse number 31, Exodus chapter 28. Thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. There shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as if it were and habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. It shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, when he cometh out, that he die not. Thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. It shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen. Thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. Thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Thou shalt make them linen breeches, to cover their nakedness from the loins, even unto the thighs they shall reach. They shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons, when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, and they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. Can I paraphrase verse 43? Make sure Aaron and his sons wear what I tell them, or I'm going to kill them. Any questions? You know what I mean? I mean, hallelujah here. It's dress right or die when you're a priest. I want to draw your attention to a phrase used in verse number 41. And I want to bring three things out. I'm not going to get to all three of them tonight, but notice the phrase, the last three words of verse 41, the priest office. The priest office. I begin this message entitled that tonight. Let's pray and we'll dive right in. Father, bless this now. Forgive our sins. Help us to be clean. And help me to preach with clarity and understanding, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. As we continue our study of this chapter together, we see the garments of the high priest and his sons are on display for us. Now, in these verses, we see Aaron, the high priest, mentioned first with his robe that would have bells and pomegranates on the hem of it. He also had a mitre, which means an official turban or a diadem, a crown, if you will, that had a golden plate that had engraved on the golden plate these words, holiness to the Lord. The garments of Aaron's sons included coats, included girdles, included bonnets, and included right here what's called breeches. Now, the garments of Aaron and his sons were to set apart the priest office for the Lord. In other words, they were going to represent, especially the high priest, going to represent God's people in the presence of God, so they had to dress the part that God demanded. Now, it's the priest's office that grabbed my attention. I'm talking about that phrase when I was reading and studying these verses tonight. As I was studying this passage, the Lord seemed to draw my attention to the fact that all of God's children today, not back in this day, but all of God's children today in the New Testament age, we have been made priests in the sight of Almighty God. May I say this to you? That is a privilege. That means that we don't have to go through another man. I'm talking about a human being to get to God. But we can go to God ourselves because of the God-man, Christ Jesus. And because He has atoned for our sin and He has appeased God the Father, we can go to God anytime, any place, anywhere. We have the liberty today to talk to God, friends. That is a privilege. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 2:9, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Revelation 1, 5, and 6 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It is certainly an honor and a privilege to be considered a priest unto God today. This is only possible through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. Now, in this passage, as we interpret what's happening and what's going on, we're going to give you an application message. What I mean by that are these points that I bring about the Old Testament high priest and his sons, the priest. We're going to apply it to our lives today as being a believer priest. Everybody understand what I just said to you? In other words, this is what applied to the Old Testament priest. We can apply it now to the New Testament priest, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, and us, the sons of God, being priests before God. Let me give you two things tonight. I think I'll get to two of them. I'll give you the third one on Sunday night. Number one, the first thing we noticed about the priest office in these verses, just tying ourselves down to these verses here, first of all, we see the priority of the priest office, the priority of it. Now, look at verse number 35 and notice the language. It shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. Verse 43. They shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. In these two verses, I see the priority that the office of the priest had back in this day. That is still the priority for believer priest today. Let me explain. We see how the Lord gave it. I'm talking about specific, particular instructions for the high priest and his garments. He gave those same specific instructions, different things, but some the same, some not. He gave specific instructions for his sons, what they were to wear as far as the garments were concerned when they came into his presence. Now get this. He was demanding they wear this, or else they would die. Now get this. They would either submit and live, or they would disobey and they would die. May I say this to you? There was no middle ground here. The way the Lord spoke to my heart in this first point about the priority of the priest office, if you're saved, you're a priest. What's your priority? What's the priority of God's child today? What's the main thing is what I'm asking. The main thing and the main priority of, if you will, of the priest office, get this now, was to simply obey the Lord's commands. That's it. That's it. In other words, they were to live a life of subjection to the Lord's orders. The Lord was calling the shots in their life. This was their priority. Their priority was to find out what God wanted and to do it. That's it. Now, friends, in the same way, the priority of our lives today, I'm talking about God's children, should be to live in subjection to the Lord's commands. We should see the importance of hearing what God says and doing it. This should be top priority in our lives. See, we should be willing to take orders from God, is what I'm saying. And we should be willing that whatever He tells us to do, the answer is yes. I've heard somebody say it this way. I think it may have been Dr. Clarence Sexton or somebody along that line said, we need to learn to say yes, to say I will to the will of God. You know, this is the priority of believer priests today. In other words, friends, are we truly living a life of subjection to God? The Bible says in Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Luke 11:28, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now, I know this is a Wednesday night crowd. You're faithful people. God bless you. I salute you. Thank you for being here. But I want to ask you a question that only you can answer. What priority does obeying God have in your life? Now, this is so simple, it's ridiculous. I know that. You know, and I know that we need to obey God, right? Here, he says, here's the list of garments: the mitre, the robe, the breeches. All of these things, and he says, you tell them that if they show up to do their duty, they will be in that or they're going to die. So their priority, friends, was to make sure that they were living in obedience to God. Let me ask you a question. Is obeying God a matter of life and death with you? Do you understand what I'm asking? I'm not asking if you don't obey, hey, he's going to kill you. No. But let me ask you a question. Does it mean that much to you that whatever he tells you to do, that is your top priority in life? Do you understand what would happen just in our city if the crowd gathered here tonight from the pastor all the way around and over in the gymnasium with the teenagers, if everybody here left saying, my number one priority as a priest is to obey God, period. Could you imagine what would happen? Now, I want you to ask yourself a question. I'm talking to me, you can say the same thing to you, am I living in obedience to God? Is there any area in my life where I am outside of the will of God? If there is, then that means our priority is off. The priority of the priest's office was to dress exactly the way God told them to dress. They were to obey God and submit to God. Let me give you a second thing tonight, and then we will press on here. The second thing I notice in verse number 41, not only the priority of the priest's office was to simply obey orders from God, but number two, we see the purpose of the priest's office. What was the purpose? Now somebody says, well, the purpose was to represent sinful man in the presence of God. That is part of the priest's office, no doubt about it. Thank God for it. But the Lord showed me something here. There's nothing new under the sun. But he showed me something here that has challenged my heart. And I call it the purpose of the priest's office. What were they supposed to do? Now, notice the language in verse number 41. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them, consecrate them, sanctify them. Notice this now. Notice the language. that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now, did you get where I'm going here? What did God tell them was their purpose in the priest's office? You'll notice he doesn't say, now, look at it again, that thou shalt anoint them, consecrate them, sanctify them, that they may represent Israel to me in the office. Is that what it says? It doesn't say that. It says that they were to minister unto God. Now, friends, may the Lord help me explain what God's teaching us here. The second thing the Lord spoke to my heart about is the purpose of the priest office and what it truly was, and may I say this, what it still is today. If I ask you what the purpose of the priest office was in the Old Testament, what would you say? There may be different answers given to this question depending on who we ask. Some may say it's that, some may say it's that, some may say it's this. But in this verse, we see the true purpose of the office of a priest. The true purpose, get this now, was to be anointed, consecrated, and sanctified in order to minister unto the Lord. Now, friends, get this. They were to be set apart to serve God. That was the purpose. Get this. Even though we know the priest office represented man to God. We know that. He stood as a mediator, if you will, between man and God. We know that, and we know that that was part of his office. In reality, get there, even though we know that's true, in reality, it was to be an office not to represent man, but to serve God. And as they served God, they represented sinful man. I'm talking about to God. Here's what I'm saying to you, friends. Serving man is not big enough. It's not a big enough purpose. The purpose for priest is to serve God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you here? Here's what I'm saying. We ought to do what we do for the Lord, not for man. Everything we do should be done to minister unto the Lord. This does not mean that man is not served, because if you're truly serving God, you'll serve your fellow man. If you're truly serving God, you will go soul winning. If you're truly serving God, you'll read your Bible. If you're truly serving God, you will not quit. See, there are byproducts of it, but some people put the cart before the horse. Let me tell you why so many people quit. Because they don't understand the purpose. Their purpose is, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm knocking on doors and everything else. I see people saved, they don't come to church. Where are they? I'm telling you one thing, I'm teaching, they don't come back. I'm just getting tired, I'm getting worn out. The reason is you got your eyes on man. Amen. Amen, friends. I'm telling you that if God is not the goal, we will quit. You will throw in the towel. And God said, I want them dressed this way for the priest office so they can minister unto me. That's what God said. This is the purpose. This means that God is our purpose. He is our motive. For instance, when I preach, get this, when I preach, I hope and I pray that God speaks to you, that God deals with you, that you get help. And I hope you've had help sometime in my pastorate. Hey, amen, you know. I hope that it helps you. I hope it helps man. But friends, listen to me. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not preaching to help you. I'm preaching to serve God. And God helps you through me. Don't you see the difference? Friends, listen to me. I'm not big enough. You're not big enough. If you are my motive, I'll quit, friends. Because you're human beings, You're going to make mistakes. You're going to do things that you shouldn't do. And if I'm your motive, you're going to quit because I'm going to make mistakes. We're flesh, friends. God never made the purpose of being His child. He never made His purpose other human beings. His purpose has always been Him. He's the motive. He's the goal. Let me ask you a question. Is God truly your purpose in life? Is He truly your motive? Your goal? Is your purpose just to serve God? Do you understand how this could change your life? Do you get what I'm saying? Let me tell you one reason, and I'm going to lift them up a little bit here. One reason that this dear couple here, Brother Graham and his dear wife, Miss Renee, have been down in. Hey, I guarantee you don't have to tell us. No personal testimonies, but man, dealing with man is not always easy, is it? And if you went for man and you tried to stay for man, you'd be right back here in the United States of America. Let me tell you why they're still there. Because they have a bigger purpose than man. Their purpose is God. Friends, let this church get this. Let me get this. Because no matter what happens or what comes and what goes, if God is my purpose and God is my motive and God is my goal and serving Him is why I'm here, I will finish my course with joy and I will finish it right and nothing will blow me off course. Amen, friends. You may tell you why? Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You show me anybody who quits doing something for God, and I show you somebody who has taken their eyes from there and putting them here somewhere. The purpose of the priest office was to serve the Lord. And that should be our purpose. By the way, if our purpose ever becomes man, then what we do, we'll do like this. You may tell you why there's so many churches that's giving up on the old-time religion. Let me tell you why there's so many churches that are trying to bring this in and take that out and put that in. Let me tell you why. Because their goal is the pleasure of man. They're trying to entertain man. They're trying to make man feel good. Listen to me, friends. I cannot find in the Word of God to make the church what man is to attract man. I can't find that in my Bible. But I can find this. You're ambassadors for Christ. And I can find this, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. May I say this to you? God must build this church. I'm not building this church. You're not going to build this church either. Now, He uses us to build it, you understand? And if we're truly going to serve Him, God, we're just in this to serve You. All we want to do is please You. All we want to do is glorify You. We want You to know that You are sitting on the throne of our heart. We are not doing this for man. We're not doing this for numbers. We're not doing this for money. We're not doing this for anything else. We're doing it for You. Then, friends, God will build His church through a people like that. He will. Because we know it's not us, it's Him. It's all about God. That's what it is. Now, the Word of God says in Joshua 24:15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." 1 Samuel 12, verse 20, "And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, for ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." Psalm 100, verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." There's two things that I've shared with you about the priest office tonight. I'll give you the third one, God willing, on Sunday night. But we've looked at these two things. Let me just go back and tap it on the head to make sure that you're with us. The priest today, the high priest, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in the book of Hebrews, no doubt about it. Aaron is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. His sons are a type of us, God's children. And as we think of priest today, then I want us, as we're studying the remainder of this chapter here through this book study, I want you to think about you. If you're saved, that's you. This is you. You are these priests. And these priests had a priority. What was it? To obey God. That's it. Find out what He wants you to do and do it. And may it mean so much to us that we'd rather die than not obey. Secondly, they had a purpose. So do you. What's the purpose? To serve man? No. To get money? No. To build the church? No. The purpose is to serve the Lord. So let me apply it this way. If you teach a Sunday school class, why are you teaching? If you're a bus captain, why are you doing that? If you're a nursery worker, why do you keep the nursery? If you're married and you're trying to treat your wife or your husband right, why are you doing that? See, this is not just good for the church, it's good for your personal life too. You're reading the Bible every day? Hope you are, should be. Why are you doing it? You knocking on doors? You trying to win people to Christ? You ought to be. Amen. Why are you doing it? Why? What's your purpose? What's your motive? I'm simply trying to say, may our motive be what God said the priest's motive was to be. And He said that they may minister unto Me. That they may serve Me. Understand what I'm preaching tonight? You got it? If you don't say amen, I'm going to start all over again. You got it, right? Amen? May we leave here with our number one priority being to obey God. And our purpose being, I'm not doing it for man or anybody else. I'm doing it for the Lord. Simple, right? Simple? My, how we need that in our lives. Amen? Let's pray together. Our Father, we love You tonight. I pray that You'll help us now. May You challenge us with Your word. Help us to be faithful to You. Your heads are bowed, Your eyes are closed. Without any instruments tonight, nobody playing. Is there one tonight say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm even a priest. I'm not sure I'm even saved. I'm not sure I'm a born-again child of God. There's never been a time in my life where I've trusted Christ and Christ alone. If there's anybody like that, would you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel message. But tonight, if you're a priest in the sight of God, that means you're one of His children. You've been born again. Is your number one priority to obey God? And is your purpose in this life truly to serve the Lord? Hey, are you driving that bus to serve God? Are you teaching that class to serve God? Are you coming to church to serve God? You get it. You understand what I'm saying. May He be our purpose, and may obeying Him be our priority. Maybe you want to get out of your seat even now, even with nobody playing, and come and ask God to help you. Father, would You help us now, I pray. May Your will be done. If there's one here tonight that's never trusted Christ, I pray that tonight will be the night where they trust You as their Lord and Savior. We who are saved, I pray that You help us to leave with our priority being obeying You and our purpose truly being to serve You, not man. Help us not to make a byproduct as the purpose. May You be our goal. May You be our motive. And may we never quit. May we cross the finish line full speed ahead. We love You tonight. Thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name. Amen. As you leave tonight, let me remind you about all of the information that's available out in the lobby from West Coast Baptist College. Please help yourself to those kind of things. Pay for it. Don't help yourself like take it, but, you know, pay for it and then help yourself to it. All those kind of things. And I encourage you to go by their table. Let them know you appreciate them being here. Thank you for being here tonight. If you need to see me, you need to talk to me about anything, I'll stay right here for a few minutes. You come right up here to me. God bless you for coming tonight. You're dismissed. Thank you.